Good morning, everybody. We're really glad you tuned in. Before we get started, I wanted you to know how much we are for you, but most importantly, that God is for you. So before we get into this message, I just want to give you a quick announcement. Some of you may or not know, Pastor Sherry's on Facebook, YCF Facebook page, and she's sharing a quick message. I think she's got a three-minute message she shares twice a week, and they're going through the books of the Bible. It's been awesome, been talking about healing, so you can click on to that. Also, Miss Stacy, who's heads up the preschool department downstairs, she's doing children's church. So you can tune in onto that on Facebook, YCF Facebook. So thank you very much. And hey, if you'd like to support YCF as a church, you can go online and they'll put some directions and all the different avenues on the screen. So thank you. Thank you very much. So let's get into the message. The title of this is Own It. O-W-N, own it or own your faith. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are a good, good Father. I thank you that you love us and that you speak to us. Father, I thank you that you are with us always. And today, Father, you would open our eyes, you'd open our ears, open our heart, or we open our heart, and that we would see you and see your plans for us, and that we would just be more on fire for you today. And tomorrow too. In Jesus' name, amen. So I know you guys are not physically in the building, all right? It's kind of empty. But you know, whenever I'm sharing a message and I get to a point that's really good, it's just kind of cool when you all go, oh, amen, Pastor D, or preach it. Come on, that's really good. So I know you're not in the building, but you know, hey, you're hanging out with your family. And if I say something, why don't you just go, oh, amen, Pastor D. Now, I know I'm not going to hear it. And you could say, you know, that, come on, that was good, okay? So how about we try that? So I'm going to count to three, and then you can say whatever phrase you want. You ready? One, two, three. See, wasn't that good? All right. So now we're all warmed up. So I want to ask you a question. Do any of you know any couples that have been married 50 years? You know, what do they call that? Your golden anniversary, right? So when you talk about somebody who's been married 50 years, you go, man, they know somebody. Like 50 years, you really know somebody, right? Wouldn't you say? And I actually have two couples, one that's married 50 years and the other one's, they're cruising 60. And they're really funny. They know each other. Sometimes they finish each other's sentence. They're really cute. But maybe you've only been married 5 years, and that's not really long compared to someone who's been married 50 years, right? But I do know if you've been married 5 years to somebody, you do get to know them. Like you really become, you get to know them, right? Okay. And even if it's just 5 years, and you probably know things about them that nobody else knows, and or better yet, you notice things about them because you know them. So here's an example. This has happened to me many a times. When my husband was alive, we'd be in a setting, a public setting, and he'd be on one side of the room, and I'd be on the other side talking to somebody, and he could literally just look at my face and know the person I'm talking to, I either am enjoying the conversation or get me out of here. Right? Okay. So, and I will say something about him. I could tell if we were, he was just sitting maybe at the sofa and he's just reading something and I'd ask him a question or I'd say, hey, don't forget to, you know, do this today. And he'd just make a noise, you know, like, sure. Okay. I knew he really didn't hear me because I knew him. Okay. And how about you guys? Has your wife ever given you that smile? Like they just kind of put their hand on their hip and tip their head and give you that smile. You know you're good. When you get that smile, you can just look and you know you're good. And then there's that other smile. I call it the cheesy smile. It's like the grit your teeth. You get that. And you know it's not good. You know things are not good, right? And why? Because you know that person. You've spent time with them. Or this happens to my friend. I've seen this happen a lot. He'll say, hey, honey, I'm going in the kitchen. I'm going to get a bowl of ice cream. I'm just going to get a small one. Can I get you some? And the wife will say, no, that's okay. I'm not hungry. You know, I'll just take a bite. of yours. And he knows. He is no longer going for a small bowl of ice cream. He's getting a big bowl of ice cream because he knows his wife is not going to take one bite. She's going to eat half the thing. Okay, and how does that happen? Because we know these people. We've spent time with them. We've lived with them, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? Okay, now, here's what I've learned, and it's not because I'm a rocket scientist. You ready? This is what I've learned. Marriage is not accidental. Marriage is intentional, okay? And this is a good part where your spouse should say, look at your honey and say, oh yeah, we're intentional, and maybe you'll score some points. But I'm going to say this again. Marriage is not accidental. It is something that should be, and I hopefully is intentional, okay? And really, the same thing goes with any relationship. Any relationship, whether it's with a family member or some friends, okay? When you become intentional with your relationship, it will grow. It will grow. I'm telling you, though, if you are not intentional with, any kind of relationship, it doesn't work out very well, very long, right? Amen. Okay. So, intentional. Intentional is when you say to your spouse, hey, we're going to make date night on the calendar every week. We're going to do it. That's intentional. Or, hey, we're going to take some time off together. We're going to make some memories, okay? That's intentional, all righty? And that's when you own the relationship. And when you own the relationship, you become intentional. And when those things happen, it grows, okay? And that's same with any kind of relationship. So let me give you my little definition of ownership. You ready? If you want to write this down, okay, ownership is the realization that no one else is going to take responsibility, okay? When you own something, you are the one that is solely responsible for it. So let me give you a story. Years ago when my son, he had a little bike, you know, with the training wheels, and then we took that off. And then he got, I guess he probably was about 10, 11, 12 or something like that. We bought him a bigger bike for his birthday. And let me tell you, he was excited. And let me tell you this, he owned that bike. Let me tell you what own that bike was. That bike never got left outside at night. It always went in the garage. It was never left in the rain. It was always taken care of, okay? And then, it was right after his birthday when he got this bike. His friend came over, and at the bottom, just about a couple houses away where we live, there's this cul-de-sac. So the two boys are down in the cul-de-sac, and they're taking turns riding this bike. And his friend is now riding the bike, and he's going really fast, and then he's jamming on the brakes and trying to make skid marks. And then he's going really fast, and then he circles around the cul-de-sac, and he hits the gravel, and the bike falls out from him, and it just comes and gets scratched up. And Jesse brings this bike home, and you could tell he's not too happy. Now, his friend was quite nice. He said, oh, I'm sorry, but Jesse owned that bike, and he took responsibility for it. Big difference, right? Big difference, okay? So maybe some of you are houseplants people. Anybody houseplants people? Now, when I married my husband, I did not know we were going to be houseplant people. Matter of fact, I probably knew two plants. What's that one? The spider plant and African violets. That was the extent of my knowledge. So after a few years, when we are collecting dozens of plants, okay, and I realize we are now plant people, okay? And so much so, some of you already know this, we had this monster plant in our foyer. It went from the first floor to the second floor, and it was hung on the wall. And you know you're a plant person when you name your plant. So my husband named this plant Fred. So we are plant people. All right. And one day I came home and I really wasn't paying attention. I didn't notice this until I'd gone upstairs. I'm putting clothes away or something like that. And I just kind of glance out of the side of my eye and I see all these plants in the bathtub. And I yell down, hey, honey, what's with the plants in the bathtub? And he goes, you know, they need a good soaking. Okay. Listen. If you're a plant person, you own them, you take responsibility for them, you might be giving them a good soaking, okay? Now, what happens if you don't take care of them if you don't water them? Well, one, they're not going to grow, and two, they're probably going to die, okay? And that's just what life does, right? All right? Now, maybe you're... Maybe if you don't deposit money into your checking account, okay, guess what? You can't withdraw. And you can try, and you're going to get, insufficient funds, okay? So you have to own that bank account, and you have to be responsible to put stuff in there if you expect to get something out. And for all you people that go to the gym, all right, and you work out, and the more you work out, the more you work out, you get these muscles going here, all right? By the way, this is not one of those bodies, because, you know, you can't go to the gym. That's my excuse. But if you are intentional, and if you take responsibility in your life, you're going to see things grow. You're going to see good things change, okay? Now, I believe that's the exact same thing when it comes to our relationship with God, when it comes to our relationship with our Father God, okay? One, you have to have ownership. Better yet, you have to own it, right? And you can't just let it accidentally happen. Just going to accidentally have this relationship with God. Nope, you have to take responsibility, okay? Now, that's where you can all say, preach it, Pastor D, that was good, all right? All right. Now, here's the problem. Life, right? Life comes at you, right? Now, many of you, you're like me, we have good intentions, right? We're going to be close with God. We're going to have good intentions on growing with God. We're going to read our Bible every day. We have those good intentions. We're going to pray more. We're going to serve more. And if we were not in COVID-19, I'd say we go to church more, okay? But, you know, sometimes life just happens, right? Now, here's the truth, the big truth. You ready? And you should write this down. If the devil can't take you from God, he will try to distract you from God. I'll say that again. If the devil can't take you from God, he will try to distract you from God. Now, here's my question. Ready? You know what's coming. What are your distractions? Come on, you guys, you know, I want to. I'm intentions to grow with God. So what are your distractions? What's keeping you from God? What's keeping you from spending time with God? Okay, let me give you a couple possibilities. Ready? Maybe it's busyness, right? And if you weren't busy before you came COVID-19, stay home, right? If you weren't busy then, now you are even more busy. That good English? More busy, right? You're having to work from home, and then your boss gives you more responsibilities or more things to do while you're working at home. And then how many of you are now homeschool teachers? No training, but you are now a homeschool teacher, right? For your kids, okay? So you got more responsibilities. And then on top of that, you still have to do your regular stuff. Like you're still cooking and cleaning, and you still have to cut the lawn. And by the way, it has rained and rained, and I think that thing grew 2 feet in 2 nights, okay? And maybe you're helping a neighbor out when you pick up groceries, okay? So your life got busier and busier and busier, okay? And by the time you get everything done, or I say, I hit the wall, I just like, I'm done. I'm on the sofa and that's it. Okay, now, I did not, or you did not walk away from God, but you just got busy, right? All right, how about this? Maybe your distraction that's keeping you from God and growing in God is you got hurt, right? You got hurt. I got hurt in church. The pastor hurt me. And then after that one hurt, you said, you know, I still love God. I love him. Yes, I do. But I'm never getting that committed to church or God ever again. As a matter of fact, I am going to play it safe. I'm just going to go online church, right? And I am going to be an observer. I'm going to be a watcher. I am not going to be a participant, right? Okay. Here's another one. I hear this a lot. This is your distraction. I got hurt because when I prayed, God did not answer my prayer. Well, I prayed, God did not answer my prayer, okay? Now, you didn't walk away from God, you just got maybe distracted. Like, God, you know, maybe God, you're not as big as I thought you. And you just got distracted and you just kind of walked away a little bit there, okay? So if the devil can't take you from God, he most certainly will distract you from God, right? This could be you, okay? I made some bad decisions, right? I made some bad choices in my life. And now, you know, I just feel kind of embarrassed. I'm just kind of ashamed, okay? And I feel like, you know, because I made those bad choices, because I made those bad decisions, I just feel like God doesn't want me to come and talk to him and hang out with him and certainly not go to church. So maybe those bad decisions have distracted you from God. Anybody? And maybe this is your story, all right? That busyness can be my story, okay? So we all have great intentions, right? We have great intentions of getting close with God. But life just happens, right? It's life. It just happens. And then when we look back, and we realize, oh man, I haven't grown with God. I haven't gotten close with God. Or maybe I just have drifted from God, okay? And why? Because life just happens and we can be distracted, right? Now, I believe this is what we should really say. You ready? If you want to write this down. This is what we should say in every season that we go through. Write this down. Seasons change, right? But every season is mine. Seasons change, but every season is mine. Or better yet, more importantly, every season is mine is to do with God. Every season is mine to do with God. Let's face it, guys. Life goes up, life goes down. But how about every season is mine to do with God? Or, hey, we got this stay home thing and I've got this going on this season in my life. I never saw this happening. This is the season. But how about every season is mine with God? Every season is mine with God. But you might be saying, oh, Pastor D, you just don't understand. I am so busy. I am busier than ever before. I am so distracted with what's going on in my life. I got more things to do. Well, here's good news. You ready? Good news. God is not looking to see how much time you spent with him. God is looking, God is after a devoted heart, a devoted life towards him. Okay. So sometimes, you know, we can be thinking, let me explain that. Sometimes we can be thinking, you know, oh, if I just do this, you know, I have these check marks like God, God, I read my Bible for 5 minutes today. Check. God, I prayed for 5 minutes. Check. God, I listened to Pastor D online. Check. God, I tithe this month. Check. God, did you see all my check, check, check? God, I should be close to you, right? And I'm going to tell you, no, 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 no. Okay? God is not looking for check, check, check. God's not looking for that. God is looking for us every single day. God is, how about this? God is looking for us to be in a marathon with him. God is looking for a life that is devoted to him, all right? So, not long ago, it was January 1st, 2020, New Year's, new decade, super wonderful. And then February comes along, right? And it's Super Bowl, right? Super Bowl. So we had the Kansas City Chiefs that were playing against the San Francisco 49ers, and the Chiefs won. Woohoo! Like all the fans went crazy. The Chiefs won, all right? Now, if you were a real 49er fan, okay, they are not fans because they're winning. They are not fans because somebody scored. They are not fans because they're at the game. They're not fans because they're winning, right? Okay? The fans, the real 49 fans are fans because they chose to be a fan, okay? Now, guys, I am not a follower of Jesus Christ because I feel like it or I feel good. I'm not a follower of Jesus Christ because I feel like I'm a winner, right? I am a follower of Jesus Christ even when I feel like I'm kind of losing and life's busy, okay? I'm a follower of Jesus Christ all the time, all right? Every season of my life, I made a decision to own my faith. Every season of my life, I made a decision to walk out my life with God. Okay, I'm a fan. and every season, right? So because I have taken ownership of my faith, my relationship, I know that in every season that I stay with God, He's helping me. Amen. So let me give you a scripture. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is in the Old Testament. It's kind of like you open up your Old Testament. It's like halfway through there. All righty. Ecclesiastes, we're going to read chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. For everything there is a season. Tell somebody this is a season, okay? For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, we're not killing, okay? A time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up. Verse 4. A time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to grieve, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and to turn, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away. Verse 7, a time to tear down, a time to mend, a time to be quiet. Some of us aren't very good at that, right? A time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. Everybody say there's a season, okay? So here's my question. What season are you in, right? What season are you in, okay? Because the greatest thing is to know what season you're in. Like, are you in a good season? Are you in a bad season? Are you in a giving season or are you in a taking season? Okay. So, and really, guys, once we know what season we're in, then we can do it with God. Then we can do it with God. Now, how many of you love fun season? Of course, no brainer, Pastor D. I love fun seasons. Therefore, I love vacations. Okay. And my all-time best vacations are a pile of books, sitting next to water. I don't care if it's a pool or sand, and doing nothing. That is fun season for me. Now, maybe your vacation is, man, we're going to climb 3 mountains. We're going to go for a 10-mile bike ride. We're going to hit every museum, all in my 7-day vacation. And I'll say, good for you, because when you get home, I will have a bottle of water for you, okay? But really, everybody loves the season of life when it's fun, right? We all love the season of life where it's fun. But you know when, do you know what season we learn the most in? Do you know what season we learn the most in? Well, it's the seasons that are horrible. It's the seasons that hurt to go through. Those are the seasons we learn the most of, okay? And if we go through those seasons with God and make it through, we will learn the most about ourselves. And you will learn the most about God, right? So if you go through these seasons that are hard and hurt, and you remember to do it with God, you will learn a lot about yourself and God. So there's a story in the Bible. It's New Testament, so get to the other side of the Bible, okay? It's found in Acts chapter 4. This is about Peter and John. Peter and John, they knew Jesus, right? They spent a lot of time with Jesus, and I'm sure you'd all agree, they had a relationship, right? Okay, now the story goes on. The religious leaders, they kind of opposed Jesus. Better yet, they hated him, okay? So they put Jesus on trial. They end up by crucifying him. He dies. He's buried. 3 days later, he's resurrected from the dead, and he reveals himself to his disciples and a whole bunch of believers, and he says to them, hey, it's better that I go away and I give you the Holy Spirit. It's better that I go away, and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. So in the book of Acts, the story just kind of keeps on building, and the disciples now are going through Jerusalem, okay? They are going through Jerusalem, and they are preaching in the name of Jesus. They are telling everybody about Jesus, the one who they crucified and died, is risen from again. He's the Messiah, and they're going around, and they're praying for people. They're getting healed and miracles, and it's just like incredible, right? Okay, and the whole town loves them, except this one group. And you got it. It's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's all the religious elders, okay? And they come up to Peter and John and they threaten them. They threaten them and says, hey, you're going to go to jail if you don't stop talking about this Jesus. You're going to go in jail. Now, think about, you know, when I think about jail, most of us think about jail. It's sort of like the timeout seat. Go sit on the timeout seat, right? And it's where you go and you've got to shut up. You're going to go in this little box and you can't say anything. That's sort of how we think about jail. But listen, for Peter and John, because they knew what happened to Jesus, they knew this wasn't sit in the quiet seat, all right? They knew jail, if they were to go to jail, they would probably not get out and die there. Right? Okay. So the Jewish leaders tell them, hey, you either quit preaching about Jesus or we're going to take you to jail. You're going to go to jail. Okay. Now, if someone said you quit preaching about Jesus or you're going to jail, you might be, oh, I'm done. Okay. The healing booth is closed. All right. We're not going to talk about Jesus because I am not going to jail. I'm done. I'm through. Okay. But the Bible says the Pharisees and all those other religious leaders, they couldn't find a way actually to keep them in jail. Okay. So they had to let them go. And the reason why they couldn't find a way and they had to let them go is because all the people that they told about Jesus, all the people that they prayed for, all the people that saw the miracles that happened in their life, the religious Jewish leaders were afraid they'd have a riot on their hand if they kept them in jail. So they let go of them, and Peter and James go running out of jail, and they run to the other disciples and all the believers, and they tell them what happened. They tell them the whole story, what happens. And by the way, on a side note, that is a good reason to be planted in a church so you can tell your good news and you have people to help you through your hard times. Okay. Back on spot here. So they get together with everybody and they tell them all the great things that had happened, how they got out, and they start to pray. So turn over to Acts chapter 4. We're going to pick up at verse 29 and 30. This is their prayer. Ready? This is their prayer. And now, O Lord, hear the threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Okay. Now, some of you might think, oh, that's just an ordinary prayer. Okay. It's not. You kind of have to break it apart. Okay. So listen to their first part. It was like, oh, Lord, hear their threats. Now, if that were me, I would have said, oh, Lord, hear their threats and lock them up, kill them, get rid of these guys that are being really terrible to us, okay? But they didn't pray that, okay? They didn't pray that. They said, oh, Lord, hear their threats, give us boldness, all righty? Now, sometimes I really think we go through life and we're like, God, just take away all the obstacles. God, take away all the problems. And listen, I am smarter than a fifth grader. I do pray that. But I love their prayer. They didn't say, oh, Lord, take them away. They said, Lord, give us boldness. Now, the last part, the verse 30, it says, may miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So they're saying, you know, the same things that were going to get us thrown in jail, the same thing that could take us and possibly kill us. Lord, I want more of that. Okay? And you know why? Listen to this, guys. Peter and James owned it. Peter and James owned it. They felt responsibility. They took responsibility to share who Jesus was, to be the vessel to go and pray for people and see these signs and wonders. They owned it. Right? Now, listen, life gets tough sometimes, right? And I really believe we are not to quit. When life gets tough, I think it's time to say, I own it and pray. Most importantly, pray, all right? So how about we say this, God, this is going on in my life. It's really tough. It's really hard and I can't make it and I feel like quitting. And God, I need your help. And God, you said if I asked for wisdom, you would give me wisdom. So God, I'm asking for wisdom and I'm thanking you if you give me wisdom to get through this situation. And how about God? I thank you for your grace that you empower me so I can do what I can't do by myself. And how about God? I thank you that you have given me the fruit of the Spirit of patience and I can do this because of what you gave me. Okay. So how about some of you that are saying, my kids are crazy. And how about we don't say, God, find me the foreign exchange program so I can ship my kid away. No, how about we go, God, I need help. And how about we pray and we say, God, help me to be the best parent that I can. God, help me to be the best role model for my kids. God, help me to show them Jesus in me, through me. And how about we live out Joshua 24:15 that says, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All right. How about we take ownership and responsibility? All right. And I'm telling you guys, when we own, one, our relationship with the Lord, one, whatever relationship, when we own them, we take responsibility, things change. Now, I'd love to tell you they change overnight, okay? But when you start owning it and taking responsibility, it will change. Those situations will change. You know, I thought of Jerl. She's a lady that goes to our church. She is the founder and head boss over at Harvest the Blessed. Blessings. And that's an organization that helps feed those that are in need, okay, and feed and clothe them. But you got to know the story of how she owned it. Jerl grew up very poor, and she would be in those food lines as a little girl with her grandma. Okay, and I'm not going to give the whole story, but she was hungry and she had to go on these food lines to receive food. And as she got older, she owned it. And she took responsibility. She saw a need, and she now has this Harvest of Blessings, and she receives food from different stores, and then she helps hand it out with a lot of different helpers, okay? So here's my question. You ready? This is like your homework, so get ready. What does God want you to own? What does God want you to own? And can you say, God, I own it? God, I own it, okay? Now, it's time to ask God that. Ask him. And I will tell you, you are not going to hear this loud voice from heaven and the rocks aren't going to shake and God's going to talk to you, because God doesn't really talk to you physically. He talks in here. And by the way, the more that you are in your Bible every single day, you'll know that voice, because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and a stranger's voice will not follow. So how about we start saying, God, what is it that I am to own? What situation, what relationship, what is it? And I own it. My intentions are to own it, and my responsibility takes action to it, okay? Now, for some of you, you may have been really close to God and you had great ambitions to be close and grow with God, but life happened. Like, life happened. And maybe for some of you, it just kind of drifted. You just sort of drifted. It wasn't intentional, okay? You just drifted away. And some of you, maybe you've never made a decision to own a relationship with God. So, first step, how about we own a relationship with God, and the second step is to then just take him as your Savior. So I'd like to pray for everybody. If you just want to bow your heads and close your eyes, or better yet, you're at home, whatever. Forget that. But, Romans 10:9-10 says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. So how about you just... It's really simple. It's really about taking ownership of a relationship and then taking responsibility to say it with your mouth and receive them in your heart. So if you pray this prayer after me, just really simple. Say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe he died for me. And he was raised from the dead, and he's alive. I believe he died for me for my sins. And today, I take ownership and I accept Jesus as my Savior. And I say with my mouth and my heart, he is my Lord Amen. If you prayed that, you have just owned it. And I'm so proud of you. If you'd let us know, you can call the office, do email us or something like that. We'd love to know. Hey, guys, have a wonderful week. And remember, God is for you. Amen.